Hello and welcome to Defend Your Ship. This is the podcast where we make you defend yourself, really, because yeah. What is a ship if not an extension of your soul?
You're here to get wrecked in a good way.
In a very good way. Sonic Kitty.
I am Raina, also known as Raina Sinclair.
Two names, yes.
Two names.
And here on our podcast, we have returning...
Woo!
Maggie McMuffin.
I'm back, bitches!
Yeah. You may remember Maggie from the episode about Harley and Joker, where we brought up womb fucking, and whether or not it's physically possible.
It is if you're not a coward and you have health insurance.
Don't forget the health insurance. We know most of you don't have it.
I feel like we should remind people, if you're already this deep, this is not a podcast for children.
Yeah, we should.
We should, yeah.
That should be on every episode.
So this is not a podcast for children.
Yeah, this is only for grown-ups who can drink, because you'd probably want to be drinking while you listen to this anyway. So today, we're going to get into some more fandom-y goodness.
Yes.
But first, Raina, what fandom-y goodness are you into today?
Oh, fuck. All right. This is kind of embarrassing, but also kind of very on brand. So I got into another magical girl show.
Which is?
Miraculous Ladybug.
Yes! That is a good show.
It's basically like a French magical girl show about a half Chinese, half French girl that turns into Ladybug, which is like a superhero. And her superpower is that she can create lucky charms that help her get out of situations. And then once she figures out the situation, she gets to basically destroy all of the bad things that happened while the villain was fighting her.
Yeah, yeah.
So no collateral damage.
No collateral damage.
Fuck yeah!
And her partner is Chat Noir, who is a...
I have seen so much smut of Chat Noir.
Yeah!
Good.
He's a French supermodel that wears a cat leather suit. And while Ladybug has the power to create... He has the power to destroy and can destroy.
Good luck and bad luck,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, because he's a black cat, and then I guess ladybugs are lucky.
If they land on you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so basically, it's the Sailor Moon old school trope. She, as a civilian, is in love with his civilian persona as a supermodel, and he as Chat Noir is in love with Ladybug. So they're both in love with each other, but with their different personas.
I love that. I love some identity craziness. I love it.
Yeah, and so it's like I'm halfway through the third season, and they still don't know who each other are.
I didn't even know the third season was around.
The third season is about to be done, and so I'm a quarter way through. I went down a rabbit hole.
That's incredible.
Both with the series and with the fanfic, because, there is a lot of smut.
Oh, my God.
as Maggie said, there is a lot of porn.
Of the sexy cat man.
Of the sexy cat man and the ladybug together. The other thing that's interesting, I think, is the dynamic is that, and I feel like this is a problem with a lot of fanfic is that like the younger crowd is like, oh well, it's a dude, so he has to be the domly one and the lady has to be the sub one.
That is not the relationship.
Chat Noir is the subliest sub there is. But I'm okay with like being like, well, maybe they can both be switches and he's like a subby switch and she's a domly switch, and they're willing to like do it for the lol.
That would be a service top. At least. Like, minimum. Like...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a thing for subby subs and service tops. We've had my discussion about Spike with you. Yes. So, yeah, that is what I've been into recently.
That sounds amazing. I have been into not that. I've been into reading a really big book, which is about codebreakers in World War II.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's called Between Silk and Cyanide, and I saw it on my friend's coffee table, and I expressed some interest, and she said, here, take it. Aww. And then I just had in my hands, like, a 600-page book. And now I have to read it, because I'm not going to, like, not read it. She'd already lent me another book that I never read and had to return to her without reading, and I'm not going to do it again. But the reason that I'm reading this book is fandom adjacent, because my friend and I met in the Captain America fandom, so we are both really into all of that contextual World War II goodness, because it just makes you write better fan fiction, really. I mean, and now, I mean, imagine, like, a Stucky fanfiction, which was a Codebreakers AU, where they were both, like, in the... Anyway. There's possibilities here.
That's true.
Yeah.
What are you into, Maggie?
I'm finally finishing Star vs. the Forces of Evil, which is a cartoon that I feel like not enough people got into. Like, everyone talks about Adventure Time and Steven Universe, and I'm like, why not Star vs. the Forces of Evil?
It's a good question. I don't know what it is.
Okay, it's... it's very much one of those shows that came out that's very mature storytelling that older people can enjoy, but it's still very much for children. And it starts out as like, oh, there's this magical girl who's from another dimension and she fights too many monsters and it's unbecoming and they send her to Earth and she lives with this boy Marco and his family. And it's just kind of like your general fish out of water. The monsters follow her. So like they have adventures and there's the big bad. And it starts out that way, and then over time, because Star is a princess, her mother is, like, a very austere queen, it becomes like, oh, well, maybe monarchies aren't the best system, and colonialism is bad, and learning about your privilege and trying to, like, combat it and then try to use your privilege to make things better, but knowing that that's, even if you have magical powers, that's not just... you don't just, like, wave a wand and systemic oppression goes away. So it's it's so fucking good. And there are some... it's really bonkers. Jenny Slate plays a supporting character who's there for, like, pure comic relief.
Oh, good.
Named, she's just a floating disembodied pony head. but then there's also, like, these really, like, deep human moments and a lot of emotional growth. And I've been watching the last season slowly because I don't want it to go. I love it so much.
Star versus the Forces of Evil.
It's all on Hulu.
Okay, all on Hulu.
I support magical girls forever.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think last time we did this podcast, we talked a little bit about how you got into fandom and how you got into shipping. Mm-hmm. So do you want to do a quick recap of your fandom experience and also tag on what ship we're talking today and how you got into that too?
Oh, yeah. Dark Knight came out. I remembered I liked Batman, so I started using Batman to process and hide from all of my feelings around being in a home situation that I just had to get through until I could go to college.
Mm-hmm.
It's the recap.
Solid recap. And then, so last time you were on, we talked about the Joker and Harley, mm-hmm. and in that conversation, Harley and Poison Ivy came up,
because
both of those ships are very important. And so today we wanted to talk about the Poison Ivy side of things.
Let's get gay!
Yes! So how did you get into that gay?
I mean, kind of the same way. It was, I think I mentioned on the last one that it's really hard to talk about Joker Harley without eventually running into talking about Poison Ivy and Harley. And so it just kind of naturally came up and was an extension of shipping Joker and Harley Quinn when I was 18 years old. Except instead of, like, I would read some threesome fics, and then I was like, oh, Harley and Ivy are good. And I read all the good Joker Harley fanfiction right now, so I guess I'm going to start reading Harley and Ivy. Also, I was, you know, very deep in the closet. In my crystalline closet cocoon, where everyone else could see that I was queer as fuck, but I refused to acknowledge it.
Oh, I know those cocoons. Oh, yeah.
It was warm and cozy, but now I'm out in the wild world. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
It's a character voice from the past.
Ah.
So this ship, this is a canon thing, but it wasn't always canon.
It wasn't. So Harley and Ivy got introduced in the cartoons, there's an episode, Harley and Ivy, which is my favorite episode of Batman the Animated Series ever.
I haven't even seen Batman the Animated Series, and I've heard that episode title.
It is so fucking good. It's so... It's not even just feminine. It's, like, wildly misandrist. It's fantastic. And so they got introduced together. I mean, they were both existing characters. And in the comic books, Harley actually met Ivy just as part of her introduction into comics. It was in the No Man's Land story arc that DC was doing, which was a year-long huge event. And it was when the Joker tried to kill Harley because he realized he was having feelings for her. He, like, sent her in a rocket ship, but instead of exploding properly, it crashed in Robinson Park, where Ivy was holed up with a bunch of earthquake orphans. And so she patched her up.
Aw.
Yeah. And gave her superpowers.
Nice. Yay! Wow. Wait, so this... So I have a question on here that we didn't talk about this last time because mm-hmm. Joker and Harley is a canon ship, but... I have a question that is this a tin hat situation? Which, are you familiar with the yeah. tin hat? Great. So, and for our listeners, you probably understand what a tin hat is, because I talk about it all the time. But, you know, it's when you have to get that conspiracy hat on and just roll up some tin foil and affix it to your head. But this was sort of a tin hat situation, right?
Not really? I don't want to say that, because it was super subtextual. I mean... Bruce Timm and Paul Dini with the animated series, in Harley and Ivy, like, Harley and Ivy are living in a tract home on nuclear polluted land together, and Harley is obviously just, they're walking around pantsless all the time. Harley is obviously wearing some of Ivy's clothes, because when she got kicked out by the Joker, she didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just playing house together, and then in Holiday Nights, in their segment, they're shown holed up in a hotel room together. There's only one bed. In tie-in comics for them, they had a whole Harley and Ivy miniseries. Every time they were shown in a living situation or a hotel room, it was always one bed. And there was tie-in comics for the animated series where Harley explicitly tells Batgirl, while smiling wistfully, because Batgirl's like, how do you hang out with Ivy? And she's like, she's like, great, she's my best friend. And Batgirl's like, no, physically, that woman exudes venom and poison. How do you do that? And Harley's like, oh, she gave me a shot so that we could play together. And then Batgirl starts going, wait, you mean like you? And she starts like making a scissoring motion and like crossing her fingers. And Harley's like, I don't follow. And she's like, well, you know, and she like just puts her fingers together like she's scissoring. And Harley's response is, oh, you mean like people say about you and Supergirl?
Whoa.
And even in like the non-animated series stuff, the stuff that wasn't like under the Bruce Timm Paul Dini thing, they were just laying out so many examples until finally they would get asked at cons, like, did you intend for people to read that it was a couple? And they were like, yeah, they're a fucking couple.
Oh my
God. How much, like, we couldn't say it, but how much more egregious do we need to be about this?
The dream that I have about going to heaven and meeting Gene Roddenberry. So the fact that you got to have that experience with this ship is just, oh man, yeah. That's the dream.
And it did become canon at the very end of Gotham City Sirens. And I didn't think it was well done, and it wasn't necessary, and it was bad. The whole series was trash.
Oh.
But then with the Connor Palmiotti Harley Quinn solo series, they did initially say, like, oh yeah, they're totally girlfriends, but then it still took them, like, so many more issues after that tweet went out for them to actually say it on the page.
Mm-hmm. It's wild how that happens, how there can just be subtext that's out there, and the creators can even be... you know, affirming of it and say, yes, obviously this is what's happening. But for the depiction to become, quote-unquote, canon takes so much longer. And then when it does happen, it's not even satisfying by that point.
Yeah. And actually what was most satisfying is Connor and Palmiotti wrote a breakup for Harley and Ivy.
Ooh.
Within that series that was very touching and very real and very good. And it wasn't like, oh, we got in a fight. It was a... I can't be there for you anymore,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, where Ivy was like, I need to focus on, you know, like, saving the world and being an eco-terrorist, and I just can't be there for you as much as you need a partner to be, and I love you, but the person who you belong with right now isn't me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking, and I cried, and I texted I texted my roommate at the time, who I had formerly dated. I was just like, they broke up. I'm so sad. I wish you were home to process this with me.
Aren't they going to be together in Birds of Prey, or is that just a rumor?
That's just a rumor, because Ivy hasn't been announced for Birds of Prey.
Okay.
I know that it's...
Yeah, I noticed that in the trailer. I was like, wait, which one of these is... Is this happening? Like, is she there?
It's also hard because, like, there's...
2,000 people in
the movie. Because they're also doing a Birds of Prey movie that doesn't include Oracle, which originally I was upset about, and I was like, oh no, but someone is developing a Barbara Gordon Batgirl movie right now, and so it's probably like, you can't both have her.
Yeah.
We can have three fucking Jokers, but God forbid we have two Barbara Gordons at different, completely separate timelines.
Yeah.
God forbid we have disability representation.
God, that
would...
There can never be too many women characters. Mm-hmm. We need more women characters. We don't need another Joker movie.
We do not need another Joker movie. Anyway.
So, segueing from that, favorite tropes for this ship?
Oh, just gals being pals. Different kink dynamics than I like for Harley Joker. I like them being happy together. I like... them just like causing mayhem and hanging out and just doing stuff, and also having an edge to their relationship where you can tell that, like, because Poison Ivy is a misanthrope. She's also not, in most continuity, she's not fully human anymore. She doesn't fully get them. So I like it when there's that kind of edge of like, oh, I love you, but I need my space right now. Which isn't... There's not really any tropes that I like with them. It's more that I'm just always tickled whenever well-written femme slash appears.
Yes.
And I'm just like, yes, give it to me. Put it in my mouth. Let me enjoy it. I love this.
Nice. So you mentioned the edge to their relationship of, like, not being fully human and not being fully there. And does that tie into, like, that breakup comic? Was there any of that connected to that trope?
Kind of, because Ivy was like, I need to focus on the earth and saving the earth and nature and doing all of these things. And you are also someone who kind of requires a lot.
Yeah.
But taking care of you doesn't mean also isn't, like, as on big of a scale.
Right. And we talked a little bit in the Joker Harley one about Harley being the center of attention.
Yeah.
And so how does that play into, how does Harley's character in fan fiction change, I guess, depending on who she's paired with? Do you find that happens, that there can be different interpretations of her character based on the characters that she's paired with?
Yeah, she tends to be a little more free. I mean, she's pretty rambunctious when she's paired with the Joker, because she's just like, that's why Harleen became Harley. That's a huge backstory that's often given to her in fan fiction and canon explorations of her origin story, is her going from being like a super ambitious career-minded person to being like, woo, I can do whatever I want! No bedtime! And I feel like often with Poison Ivy, she's depicted as being that a little bit more. Poison Ivy in the Bruce Timm, Paul Dini continuities is still abusive, which is a hill I will die on. It's canon, it's depicted, like, we see Ivy, but it's usually a lot more of an emotional abuse. So also the way that Ivy, like, manipulates Harley is very different than how, like, the Joker usually just, like, forces Harley to do things. But also, with, like, the new continuity, which is usually drawn from the Palmiotti Connor run, is not abusive. It's very supportive. It's very healthy. And it's Ivy being very supportive, and it's Harley actually being more adult. And that comes through in fan fiction too, where it's Harley, like, having dreams and actually wanting to be her own person, and Ivy being like, yes, you don't need me to tell you what to do all the time. In the bedroom, yeah, let's fucking do that. And, like, trying to be a voice of reason when Harley's getting too ambitious, but mostly just being like, babe, you gotta take care of yourself, and sometimes, like being less of a mean dom and more of, like, a swooping in daddy who's just like, hey, babe, let's go on a spa date. You've been working so hard. Don't worry, I covered it.
Nice. So, speaking of abuse in the relationships, what have you experienced controversy around this ship?
I mean, controversy in as much as, like, finding femslash in most fandoms is just hard.
Yes, it is.
There is, actually, I have not seen a ton of controversy around this. Usually the bigger thing is a lot of people just kind of pair off Harley and Ivy because they see Ivy as the healthier choice, mm-hmm. which, like I said, up until recently was not true.
And that's the first I had heard of that, because this isn't really where I live, but when I do peek in on this world or see any of it, it's usually Ivy and Harley are very healthy, very cute, very sweet, and, like, wholesome, almost.
Yeah.
And so what you just mentioning, that they have a history where there was abuse in the relationship, emotional abuse, I find that really interesting, actually.
Yeah, and not just emotional, like, they're, in their miniseries together, when Ivy is getting, like, fed up with being around Harley, she has a dream where Harley, like, does something wrong, and she wakes up, and she looks at Harley in the bed beside her, and she just punches her off the bed. And Harley is like, what did I do? And Ivy just pretends to be asleep.
Right, which is funny in a cartoon sense, but also...
also, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, sometimes, like, that discussion will come... The discussion comes up now because continuity-wise now, it's, like, it's not true. But there were a lot of discussions a few years ago where queer people would be saying, like, hey, lesbians don't just exist to rescue you, and it is also really insensitive and just flat out wrong to pretend like abuse cannot happen in same-sex relationships. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of discussion about that, but there has been no controversy at the level of, like, Joker Harley.
Yeah. Do you think that's because femslash tends to be less visible in fandom and less accessible?
I think so. Because people were really excited about it. And also, sometimes people would be shunting off, like, well, Harley doesn't need to be with the Joker because Harley can be with Ivy, and then Joker and Batman can finally be together and I can talk about that slap.
Yeah.
Which not my thing, but I'm like, it gets homoerotic at times. I'm not going to say it's not possible. It's just not what I want to read because I am in the minority. I don't like reading stories where there are no women. So I don't read guy slash.
That's fair.
Not my kink, but here for the discourse.
Yeah, not my kink, but here for the discourse. I'm like, I will support the fuck out of Stucky fans because they do belong together. I just don't want to read their smut. But I love them. I love those cute little trauma old men.
those are my trauma little trauma old men. Those are my boys. Yeah.
Your boys.
Those are my boys. I think in terms of, like, the controversy, we see... I always see a lot of discourse around, like, slash, like,
yeah.
But I, when it comes to femslash, I do feel that there's this idea of, like, no, this, no discourse, we just get to enjoy this, goddammit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I think part of that comes from the fact that since there is so little of it, it's like you don't want to criticize it because then you're afraid that it just will stop happening entirely.
Yeah, it's just like when there's no queer representation in media and people are just like, no, this is here, we can't speak ill of it because they might take it away from us.
Do you think that that's almost a shame? Because I have experienced in fandom that sometimes that controversy and criticism can often lead to creativity in fandom, criticism in particular.
Oh no, I think that any art form that doesn't allow for criticism is going to die.
Yeah. Do you think that happens with femslash, that it could, that, like, if we had more of it, if we had the ability to enjoy our criticism and, like, feed off of that, because I'll criticize the hell out of Captain America any day, anytime. I'm all here about the criticism. I have so much criticism. And that, us having meta discussions on Tumblr about that, leading into, like, post after post of people tagging on, and then it would lead into AU concepts and new fanfiction ideas. Do you get to see that in femslash? I don't live there. I don't know.
I feel like it doesn't happen as often, and most femslash is very frequently not canon.
Yeah.
Because you know, since media is doing a lot more gay stuff now, usually they're just like, hot gay white men.
Yeah.
Which is, like, great, that's...
I'll take that criticism.
When they're not queer baiting, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't live in Supernatural, but they deserve gays, damn it.
Oh boy.
I have been in that fandom for way too long.
Yeah, yeah. If you're still in it today, it might have been too long, yeah.
I'm on that ship until it dies.
You are the captain, you are going down
with it.
So yeah, I feel like Femslash, I also feel like Femslash is very frequently in the way that like a lot of people in fandom, especially a lot of younger fans, use male slash mm-hmm. to sort of safely explore sexuality because they're so far removed from it because there's no women involved. I think femme slash is often a way for people, especially younger members of fandom, to explore a world without men, because usually femme slash is not as, it's not as kinky, it's not as like sexually raw. Sometimes you'll find stuff, and I'm sure that there are some pairings out there that I don't know about that are fandoms that I know nothing about, that go against that. But I feel like a lot of femme slash is usually written as like, there's just those girls and they have a house and they adopted a dog and they're just living a nice life. What a world. What a world that would be.
What a wonderful world. That's really interesting. Yeah. That's a good point. Cause we see fluff too in just like mask slash too, but I feel so unaware of everything that happens in femme slash. It's like another world to me.
I mean the femme slash that I know is obviously Uranus and Neptune, mm-hmm. and I've never really gotten into that corner of fan fiction, but like even in regular Sailor Moon fanfic, like they do hint at them having a sexual relationship, but it's never really like kinky. It's more like they own a house together and like they raise their like daughter slash like sister with their platonic best friend and everything is wonderful.
They're so mature and responsible.
Exactly.
They pay their taxes. They cut their grass within the specifications of the HOA.
Yeah, it's like
they spay and neuter all of their pets.
It feels like with femme slash, it's less about the sex and more like what is like this sort of like white picket fence queer fantasy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And home ownership is, of course, a huge fantasy.
Oh, man.
100% fantasy.
Owning my home.
Can you imagine?
Two of my three main partners own their homes, and I am just in awe of them.
That is insane. You may know more homeowners than I know.
Yeah.
Well, technically, I own my home due That's to technicality.
True. Through technicality.
You don't talk about it.
Take it. That means that my bacon number of, like, friends who own their homes is one. So that's really cool for me to be in the presence of greatness.
To be fair, I also usually date people who are older than me and have real jobs.
That's real.
Who have pay stubs and no
student loans. What is that like?
I don't know. It's weird.
Actually.
Let's write a fan fiction about it.
Let's write femme slash about this.
Let's write a fan fiction about Harley and Ivy robbing a bank to pay off the loans of queer ne'er-do-wells they've met slash semi-adopted. Oh my god.
You should maybe write that. That sounds amazing.
Oh my god. It's my dream. That's what I want to be. I want to rob banks and help people pay off their student loans.
This is the fucking dream. Ugh. And I think there's ways to rob banks legally.
I mean...
Yeah.
Why would I want to do it legally? Fuck banks.
All right, I think we really got off the rails on this one.
So, aside from robbing banks and maturity and paying off your mortgage, what have you learned from this ship, and how has studying this relationship impacted your relationships?
I have learned that sometimes your friend is not just your friend.
That's fair.
Maybe sometimes you form a deep, intense partnership with another woman because you want to put your face in her crotch.
Yeah, I hear that does happen sometimes.
So that's important. But just because you want to put your face in her crotch doesn't mean you don't also love her as a person and that you two can't be there for each other in completely non-sexual ways. And that sometimes... being very queer, sometimes your ex-girlfriend will be one of the most important people in your life.
Aww.
That's nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, have you created fan content for the ship? You have. You've told us about some of this fan content.
Have I?
No, you haven't. You told us about your Joker Harley content.
I have not written I have not written any Harley Ivy fan fiction or made anything. I dressed up with my ex. We were Harley and Ivy for a Halloween party where we just did a ton of acid and then fucked with stand-up comedians.
Nice.
The stand-up comedians is the weirdest part of that sentence.
And yet it's so on brand.
Oh, that's because my ex is a stand-up comedian. Okay. And so when I was living with them, I had to be around stand-up comedians a lot.
That sounds like a lot to navigate.
It was a lot to navigate. So they're actually, I still think of them, I actually have a Venus flytrap tattoo for them. They no longer identify, or they no longer present as a woman, so they are living their trans mask dreamboat life, so now I,
hell yeah.
So now I call them Poison Gyvy.
That's so cute, I love that! Oh man, okay, all of my trans mask appreciation for that, that's adorable. So if you could have a bit of fan content created for this ship right now and delivered to you on a silver platter, what would that content look like?
Oh god. I was going to say the robbing banks thing, but then I remember that what's it called? When they did all the pinups of the DC characters.
Oh,
Bombshells!
Bombshells.
Yeah. Oh. Which is a fucking amazing series. Harley and Ivy's whole thing in that series is that they're just going around Europe fighting Nazis together.
That's up my alley.
And it's an AU canon.
Wow.
You should just read all of Bombshells. It's just a bunch of the female characters. And even Stargirl is a big deal. The Phantasm from Mask of the Phantasm shows up. They're just pulling everyone. Wonder Woman and Mira are in a relationship. It's so gay and so great. Hot Girl and Vixen like own a country together and run it as co-queens. It's brilliant. And also Harley and Ivy just punching Nazis.
Wow.
And so, like, smuggling silk stockings and shit.
So you'd want more of that?
Yeah, more of that. Yeah. I guess I should find the fan fiction because there is a scene that fades to black where Ivy talks about getting tied up by Harley, which is interesting because Harley is almost always across the board written as a sub. So I was always like, I don't know if they just accidentally got that backwards. But I'm also kind of into the idea of, like, Harley, like, service-topping Ivy. And I would like to explore that more.
Again for the service tops.
Again for the service tops. Also, like, that's also just me projecting because, like, I'm super, super subby, but you give me a lady with some dominant energy and I'm like, please lay back and just let me make you feel great. You are so wonderful. Let me give back to you a little bit of what you have given to us.
It's the mommy kink.
Like, let me just hold you down and make you feel good. I love you.
So what makes you think of this ship out in the world? What makes you think of this?
Hard femme, tomboy femme couples.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Also, Raina's gonna cheer about this, because it's frequently how Ivy is drawn in fan art now, but people who have a side shave, but then really long hair.
So, like, Raina.
Yeah. Yeah, like
Raina. Raina, thank you so much for making us all think of service tops and mortgages.
Well, there was that one year at Comic-Con where I was just so angry about people constantly calling me Poison Ivy without me even trying to be Poison Ivy that I did a lazy Poison Ivy cosplay where I just, like, wore a flower crown and a green dress and had a sign that says, save the plants, eat the humans.
I love that.
How many people took pictures of you?
Only a couple, because they didn't get the reference.
See, because I have naturally red hair, I never get mistaken for Poison Ivy at cons. But, like, I would just do basic makeup and wear, like, an I Heart Hawkeye shirt. And I would have so many people be like, oh my god, that's such an amazing Black Widow. Yeah. I'm like, because I think because I was also just walking places. Though that also made Greg Rucka say that he thinks I could kill a man once. So that was pretty great.
Nice, nice.
That's what you want. Yeah. On your tombstone, yeah.
Goals.
I look like I can kill a man. I couldn't. I can't kill anyone.
But you look.
I look like I could kill a man. That's what counts.
Yes. So, anything you'd like to say to our audience in closing? More femme slash, yep. More service tops.
More femme slash, more service tops. If you ever rob a bank, make sure you give back to your queer community. Pay for someone's HRT for the year.
Yeah, that is really good advice. So if any of you have robbed a bank recently, let us know what you did with the money. Hopefully you paid for someone's HRT for a year. That would be a really good choice. I'm sure we could put some additional charities in the notes on this podcast. But in general, thank you for tuning in and coming on this journey with us. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope if you have any femme slash you'd like to share with us, please reach out, because we all know that there's not enough femme slash in the world.
Especially if it's kinky femme slash that's written
especially
well.
Especially if it's well-written kinky femme slash, yes.
You can reach us at defendyourship@gmail.com and defendyourship on Twitter.
Yeah. All right, it's time to sign off, everybody. You ready?
Yeah. Be gay, do crimes.
Be gay, do crimes.
Be gay, do crimes.